he's a bop, a bop, a bebop Santa Claus. He's a bop, bebop
Santa Claus. Your basic little blues riff there. We play the obscure here on WGN. By the way, Bob and Crystal Lake, we congratulate you. He wins the latest Lou Malnati's gift certificate of $25, which he can spend on a delicious pizza at any of the 37 Lou Malnati's around Chicagoland. It really is good. I love it. I was at WGN a few weeks ago, WGN TV, that is, and they, the news director, Jennifer Lyons, called out for Lou Malnati's, and it was a real treat, naturally. Everything was gone pretty quickly. So Bob and Crystal Lake, we'd asked him what he hates most about the Christmas season. Long lines everywhere. Well, there you go. The training is do your shopping early. You don't have to worry about it. But, you know, it's you're always trying to time the deals. It's now Black Friday isn't the magical day that it was. They have pre-Black Friday prices, and it's post-Black Friday. Soon it's going to be Black Friday week, and soon it's going to be Black Friday month. Taxes. Speaking of black and sadness, black taxes. We rail against taxes every year. I don't know why, but they're always there, waiting for us. It has become an essential part of being an American. Joe Rosnai is a CPA. He's a partner at Michael Silver & Company, accountants on... Where is that? That's are you on Old Orchard there?
We're at Old Orchard Road in Skokie.
Our phone number for questions for the tax man, a service from WGN Radio, free tax advice, 312-981-7200. And Joe, I only want to talk about the important things. Sometimes when I exchange emails for you with you and you start talking and suddenly you're over my head, I don't know what you're talking about. And I know why, because that tax code is hundreds, thousands of pages long?
Thousands of pages.
And you got it all in your head?
Yeah, most of it.
That's crazy. But I only want to hear about what is new to start with 2014, for the filing year of 2014, which we will be paying by April. Is it the 15th this year? Because I know they move it.
It's always April 15th, unless the 15th is
Well, wasn't
holiday.
It the 17th or something last year?
Yeah, when the 15th is Patriots Day, then and Monday, that turns into a... We go all the way out to the 17th sometimes.
Now, remember, you're talking to people like me, lay people. We get befuddled easily when we hear anything that has to do with taxes. So what is new that's important that we know?
One of the things that's new, and it's breaking this week, but isn't certain yet. The part that is certain, there were a lot of tax credits, special deductions, and things that expired at the end of 2013 that Congress has been talking about extending all year. The House only just this Wednesday, I think it was, voted to extend them just one more year.
Now, are these like the energy tax credits?
Energy credits, special business credits, some of the child tax credits, a lot of those sorts of things that if the Senate and the President now do the same thing that the House did this week, we'll get them all back again in 14, but otherwise taxes are going up.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame it's so political, but that's the nature of it. When Washington's in control of the policy.
Yeah, they keep making the credits temporary. They go for a few years, and then they want to extend them.
Or it's like the renewable energy industry. They love the tax
Absolutely.
Credits, and they cannot move forward with tax credits. They need that to sort of prime the pump for that industry.
Yeah, the saddest thing is a lot of these credits are meant to incent certain behaviors that if you retroactively reinstate the credit, you haven't really done what the credit was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you're giving it enough time to do what you wanted it to do.
Right,
too.
But today they're renewing the credit that already expired last year. Yeah. So if somebody was putting in new insulation in June, they didn't know if they were going to get the credit.
So what are the planning tools that we can avail ourselves of? And what should we be doing right now before December 31st runs out?
There's a few things there, Bill. One of the easiest things for those that have investment portfolios is to look at the portfolio, see if there's any losses you've incurred in the portfolio.
401k?
Not 401k. Yeah. 401k is a tax-deferred device. We're talking about your regular taxable portfolio.
Stocks
and bonds and what have you. If you've got those that have losses in there and you're just waiting for them to come around and become income again, it's often better just to
cut your losses and
sell them off, take the tax loss. If you really like them a lot, buy them back in 31 days, because anything less than that will erase the loss.
Yeah, we know we're taxed on the gains, capital gains, but...
The losses are the best shelter for the gains because we've all got them in our portfolio.
Yeah.
You've got them,
I've
got
them.
It's
a nice way to clear out the portfolio.
Clean them out. Clean house. We clean up for the holidays around the house, clean up the portfolio. That's good, too.
Anything else?
Charitable contributions. If you're planning on making any, this is a good time to make them, not just because of the holiday season, but simply because there's a 2014 deduction instead of a 2015 deduction. And with that, again, going back to the stock portfolio, if you got some nice big gains over there and you've got charitable intentions, make the charitable donation with appreciated stock. You don't pay tax on the gain and you get the market value for your deduction. So it's like double dipping.
Harry, you're on WGN. Howdy.
Hi. Listen, I had a question. I inherited a house when my mother passed away in 2010, and I've got it on the market to sell. What is my tax liability?
Your tax liability, Harry, is on whatever gain might have been incurred or might have built up since 2010 when you got the property.
How does he find that out?
The best thing to do, what you should figure out if you don't already have it, what is the market value of the property in 2010 when you inherited the property? That's your cost basis. And then whatever you're selling it for today is going to be your selling price. And if that's a net plus, that's your taxable gain.
Who can you go to sort of make that calculation?
If you haven't already got the number from 2010, talk to your local realtors. They're usually pretty free with their information. Some might charge you for the appraisal, but we're talking about an appraisal of 4 years ago.
Okay, but does it go back to when it was actually transferred to me?
Was it transferred to you before your mother passed?
Well, yeah. See, they had a first-to-die situation where my dad preceded her, and at that point is when the property legally became mine.
Oh. Okay, so that's the date that you're measuring it, so that's not 2010 when your mom ceased to be with us. It goes back to when your dad passed and it became yours. That is the date that you have to measure.
So if we had an appraisal done at that time, would that be adequate basis?
That absolutely would.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Harry. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now.
Talking with Joe Rosny, you can give us a ring at 312-981-7200. I'm Bill Mahler here on the mighty WGN 720. More of your calls and conversation about how to protect your taxes so that the government doesn't take more than its fair share.
Mommy, Daddy, why are there only 12 days of Christmas? Can't there be 13?
Yeah, why not?
Send us to drunk and drive. Send us to drunk and drive. Send us to drunk and drive.
Crazy, man. Bill Mahler Show here till, I keep wanting to say till 3 o'clock. We're actually here till 3:15 when we kick it over to Dave Innitt for NU basketball at Butler. Are they at Butler or is it a home game, Dan? You know? At Butler, okay. So sticking around a little longer here today. Let's get back to your phone calls, talking to Joe Rosny, who is the tax expert. I mean, you're here every year.
I am.
We should, you know, have you in more often than that.
I would love to.
Let's see.
Questions don't stop.
They don't. Let's start with the one who's hanging on the longest. Hi, Tom. You're on WGN.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, for taking a call. By the way, I missed the TV segment, so.
Well, he's coming back. Brian Tallarico is coming back. Fear not.
At any rate, this is the first year that I have required minimum distribution from my IRA, and I'm curious as to what the penalty is if you don't pay all of it, if you pay, say, 90% of it.
I can't think of a reason why you wouldn't want to take all of it, but there is a penalty. The percentage escapes me on the amount you didn't take, and it does accumulate. So you really want to be careful that
so
whatever...
So you mean that if he doesn't take it this year, he better take it next year in addition to what he's additionally supposed to take out.
It can get worse. I mean, there's reasonable cause issues. Why would you not want to take the whole amount?
Well, I just don't want to sell stock. I've got a cash position, and I may be a little short, but more interestingly enough, I own Covidian, and they're supposed to have closed their deal with Medtronic, and that's going to be a cash and stock distribution. So I'll have plenty of cash if it closes in the first quarter. But I might miss by like $100 if it doesn't close till the second quarter.
I would suggest that your gain for waiting is not going to be as big as the penalty for not waiting. You don't have to sell the whole thing. You can sell just a couple of shares to make it to your 100%. That would be far better than not taking the amount you're supposed to take and then paying that penalty. The penalty's permanent.
Tom, he's the expert.
I appreciate it. And I've got a few short positions, I mean, minor positions that I could sell. It's just that if I don't have to spend the money on the fee to the broker, you know, I'm just trying to nickel and dime myself, more or less.
Yeah, you could nickel and dime yourself into a bad place.
All right, Tom.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks so much. Hey, Ron, how are you? You're on WGN.
Yes, I'm calling about a condo we purchased for a investment, and we paid $85,000 for it. Presently, in order to sell it, we had to reduce the price to $45,000, and we have to hold the mortgage on it. How does the tax work on that?
Well, you got two different things going on there. You've got the sale of the property, and now you're a bank, so to speak. You're going to pay tax on the interest on the loan as you collect it. Sounds like you're going to have a loss on the property. Was it a personal property or investment property?
It was an investment property.
As an investment property, you can take the loss on the sale
against
whatever other income you have. Reportable on that 4797 if you want to mark your form number down.
Okay.
And then after that, you're just like the bank. You're collecting interest.
Okay. So I can take the $40,000 loss on the condo, but I'm paying tax on the
interest.
Money we are getting for
not on
for
all the money, loan. Just the interest. You're collecting 40 something of principal, and they're paying a little bit of interest every month.
Right.
And it's the interest that you'll be paying the tax on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ron, thank you. Hey ho, Mike, welcome. You're on WGN. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, very exciting. Hi, Bill. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
I was just offered a high deductible HSA. It's $2,500 deductible.
Health savings account, for those who do not know.
Right. And then, but the company is the first time the company's matching anything. They never matched our 401k. They're matching $500. So they clearly want us to go to that. Now, I can't max out both the 401k and the HSA. It's about $6,500 I want to put in to the retirement account. But for the life of me, I can't figure out a reason why I wouldn't want to max out the HSA and not put anything in the 401k, because at the end at 65, you know, you can use the HSA like you could a 401k. But of course, if it was a health related thing, it would be tax free. Am I missing something here?
Well, you know, you're not missing something. Some people do view the HSA as a kind of a retirement savings. Let me back up. An HSA from the high deductible is something that you, yes, can defer year to year, not to be confused with a flexible spending account, an FSA.
FSA, yes.
Which you have to use it or lose it year by year.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of using that as your retirement vehicle because it's more limiting.
But it's my question is this: if the 401k has the exact same thing, I can buy stock, I can buy mutual funds, but no matter what, I'm going to pay taxes out of it since it's not a Roth 401k. But the HSA gives you the same things because you can buy mutual funds. It's probably more limited. But if it's a health related cost, then it's 100% tax free. So you're still paying taxes on anything that's not health related, but on the 401k,
you're exactly correct. If you've got one limited pile of funds to make your distribution or contributions to, the HSA that they're matching is certainly going to give you a bigger return right off the reel because of that match.
There you go.
And then you do the rest of it for 401k. And as you said, if you spend the HSA on medical related expenses, doctors, what have you, then you never pay tax on it. Then the 401k, when you take it
out,
you will pay tax.
Mike, you answered your own question.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted confirmation because if I were marketing it, I would say, look, you guys, this is better than a 401k. But they never once said that during the whole marketing of it. I'm like,
can't market it as an investment account. They can't market it as a retirement account. It's a health account.
Even though they sell it mutual funds with it. Well, thank you.
All right, Mike. Yeah, thank you. So, Joe Rosny, he's with Michael Silver & Company. They're in Skokie. You got a website? Obviously, you do.
www.msco.net.
MSCO, Michael Silver Co.
Right.
Joe Rosny, good information. Good to see you again.
Pleasure to be here.